into a region of threatening evil. The half world of reality and illusion, where nameless specters and phantoms live. A macabre world beyond midnight. Tonight you hear a strange tale of ancient beliefs, or misbeliefs if you will, projected into a 20th century setting, of bizarre happenings with never a tangible foundation of fact on which to rest the bewildered mind of the observer. Believe it or not, frankly, I must tell you the newspapers did not. But newspapers are like that. My story is called Cataclysm. Cataclysm.
Biotech, the new soap and pre-wash powder, presents the first in a series of programs, Beyond Midnight.
Now, ladies, we're speaking about biotech in a series of programs, and Mrs. E.B. Granger of Gordon Road, Heathfield in the Cape wrote to say that she decided to try our biotech just to see if it lived up to our claims. And she said, I bought a packet, and lo and behold, it actually did just what the advert said. I'm so proud of the children's white shirts, the hankies, and the underwear, that I want to say it will be biotech for me every washing day from now on. Some of my family's accessories were left with slight stains, but now, thanks to biotech soaking, they come out white, and the stains do go away, as you say. Now, that is the statement from Mrs. Granger of Heathfield of the Cape, and it bears out what we have been saying to you ladies ever since biotech first came on the market. We said to you, it is different to any washing product that you've ever used before. We claim that the stubborn stains will vanish. And people like Mrs. Granger bear out our claims. Remember, biotech.
Oh, boy. Boy, that was beautiful. So beautiful. Thank you.
You don't have to thank me.
Why not? Why ever not thank you?
Because whatever I do, wherever I take you, this is your right as my wife-to-be.
Hmm. Wife-to-be. Sounds so old-fashioned.
Clara. Clara, Clara. Clara, always so invasive. Always.
Boy, please. Boy, darling.
Will you be my wife?
Boy, I love this evening.
Listen to me. Clara. Is there someone else? Do you refuse me because there's...
Oh, no. No, no.
Well, let's be married and have no more of this nonsense. Don't turn away. Clara.
Please. Will you...
Come here.
No.
Well, I know what it is. You're still thinking of your family tree and the seventh generation and all the rest. Everything about this insane legend. Are we going to let this story, this pack of... Clara. Is this going to keep us apart? When we want one another so badly.
It is not an insane legend. Look at me. Look.
No, I can never take my eyes off you. You're the most...
Listen. Can't you see? My eyes. My head. The way I walk. Doesn't the prophecy mean anything to you when you look at me and remember it?
I'm sorry. I don't believe in witches' curses. You're going to marry me, and that's all there is to it. You're too intelligent to believe old wise tales. All right. I'll tell you. I'll tell you what. Proof. You show me proof. The whole history. And if... After I've heard it, I'd still want to marry you. You'll say you will. Yes? Clara. Clara, my darling.
How can I answer? Nobody's ever been asked to. All right. You shall know everything. Every single fact. Wait, please, boy. There's an old trunk in the attic. Everything's in it.
I'll come with you. Is the light
empty? Yes, but...
I'll come with you.
All right, we must be quiet. Morrison, please don't ridicule what I'm going to tell you. Some of these papers, documents, are all 300 years old. In 1692, an old woman lived in a shack on the edge of Salem, Massachusetts. She lived on her own. She was supposed to have a son somewhere, but nobody had ever seen her. She kept herself alive by raising vegetables and selling them to the townspeople. She was a strange old woman, dirty. Mind was a bit unhinged. She never did anybody any harm. No one molested her. My mother's ancestors also lived in Salem. The Mumford Jones clan. Look, this little girl is called Emily. There were a lot of children in this family. She was one of them. My own ancestor.
Miniature. Carefully done.
This old woman, the one who lived alone, she brought vegetables to the house and developed a strange sort of fascination for this little girl, Emily. She used to talk to her, ask her all sorts of questions. Once she put her arms around her, Emily kicked her and squirmed away from her screaming. And when the old woman tried to catch her and comfort her, she bit her. Then she ran away. Good will there. And she pulled faces at the old woman, called her rude names. It began from then on. The woman started to hate the child. Emily got all her friends to pull faces and torment the woman. The next spring, apparently, a lot of strange rumors began circulating. Farmers complained that their cattle sickened when this old lady looked at them. The neighbor said she had evil eyes. No one bought any of her vegetables. She was near to starving to death. She got to be known as the Witch of Salem Town. Once the old woman had shouted to her that she would turn her into a cat if she kept on being rude. Do you know what this child did? She pretended to be a cat. Just a little bit. You see, she didn't know the strength of the feeling that was gathering against his old head. What she did was to crawl around on the floor at home, under the table, mewing like a kitten. She scratched her brother's ears and washed herself, licked her arm, just like a cat. Mumford Jane, her father, was a son. He asked her what she thought she was doing, and this little girl said she thought she was doing it. And that the old woman was turning her into a cat, and that she could see it happen.
Well, the father didn't believe that, sure.
He was a superstitious age. Most 17th century boy. In April 1692, he brought an action against the woman, and she was accused of being a witch. 6 magistrates and 4 ministers of the gospel. She was thrown into jail. Emily was frightened then, and told her father she'd made everything up. That she'd only been play-acting.
Didn't that make it all right? Should have done.
They used it as further proof against the old woman. Said she'd sent a demon into the fire. The jailer was as stupid as one's man. One day, when he had a stomachache, probably because he drank too much, he accused the witch in her cell of putting a spell on his stomach. The people of the town marched on the jail and demanded the woman's death. This old woman probably wasn't a witch, but she must have been telepathic or something, because according to this jailer, before the crowd came, she screamed and fell senseless to the floor of her cell. And when she regained consciousness, she stood stock still in the corner of the cell and flung up her arms to the ceiling.
They're going to hang me. They're going to kill me. And the word of a child, the golden breath, the crown. By all the devils that be, by all the stars on heaven's door, by all the ghostly gods of that which God, of which I stand accused, I will do as it
this old heart started in the back of her cell floor and muttered, "Nobody knows what." She muttered to herself, and as she did this, at the Jones house a mile away, Emily began to change into a cat. Every word his witch spoke, the child began to change. She jumped up and down like someone else. The pupils of her eyes became stiff, cat-like. She started to crawl around the floor, speaking. Only this time she wasn't pretending. And then the most terrible thing happened. Fine black hair started to grow on her arms and the backs of her hands. Who frightening things would have happened because mob justice was swift in those days.
You might believe you have me now. I will have my revenge.
In here, this trunk. Everything's been preserved. Records of the public hearing. But guess what?
Nothing, for heaven. Why keep...
And here... Wait a minute. This is the most conclusive proof of all. Emily Jones is a young woman. Years after the witch's curse. You see?
We treat this, all of it, as a stupid test. Now,
well,
listen to me. If you fear, it's impossible. Clara, marry me.
Marry? In spite of...
Yes, if all the fairy stories in the world wouldn't change my life for you. Please.
All right. In the minutes of the public hearing, she was written down as Jane Batfield, and I'm not sure if it's correct. Boyd, what's the matter? What is it?
Nothing, just a foolish passing thought, nothing at all. I love you. I love you, my darling, darling wife. There you are. I've been looking all over for you. Happy anniversary, my love.
Happy anniversary, my darling.
Clara, we've got lots of room here. I wonder, would you mind? I'd like to invite my Aunt Jane up here for a while. She's very lonely. Would you mind?
Of course not, darling. I'd be delighted to have her come for as long as she wants. Too bad she hasn't got a nice old husband to share her old age with. Why didn't you ever know?
I'm afraid the young men of her day were much too much in awe of her ever to propose. She had a sharp tongue, and also too many brains for the proper wife.
Well, look, I'll write to her and ask her to come and visit us. What's her full name and address? I can't just put Aunt Jane, can I?
Her name? It's Jane Evers Batfield. Jane Batfield. And the address is... Clara? Clara, what...
Biotechs appeared on the market. We've had many endorsements from time to time, and these can be seen in our office. I'm broadcasting some of these to you, and will do so as they come to hand. And Mrs. M.V. Trouser of Fifth Avenue Pinetown, Natal, wrote and said, "Here's a letter from me of appreciation to the basis of biotech. I am highly satisfied with biotech, and have introduced my friends to your product, and so far, there has not been one complaint that it does not live up to the claims you make for it. I have two sons, aged 2.5 and 1 year. The elder boy gets filthy dirty, and his clothes are pretty much the worst for wear at the end of the day. The baby naturally drags himself about, and his little diaper has become very black and dirty at the end of each day, too. The point I'm trying to make with you is that every night I soak these diapers and the elder child's clothing in biotech, and in the morning, all I have is this night rubbing and rinsing, and that's it. The name again is Biotech."
You must feel very well, boy, to be able to buy such a mansion. What a lovely little wife. Come, child. You shall show me over every inch of your home and castle.
I'd really rather like to get lunch ready now, Aunt Jane. It's late. Perhaps...
Come on, Aunt. I'll show you over. It is a mansion, at least it was one. We've done a lot of work in
construction. Oh, the garden. Oh, the garden.
Thank you.
Worried, even before your marriage, about these stories, this curse.
Yes, as I said, our first year together was clearly happy, but now, with the old woman staying with us, I...
Marion, John, I'd like to be able to dismiss the whole thing, I really would, but I've examined your wife, talked to her, and now I must confess to you in private that I can't answer for her sanity if the disturbing element, Miss Bassfield, isn't removed at once. I'm certain she'll be as right as rain again. As soon as she goes, Mr. Barringer.
There's no chance of this thing coming true, is there? This thing she's frightened of.
No danger that the lady will turn your wife into a cat? Hardly that, my dear fellow. That is a metamorphosis rather incompatible with the best customs violence.
My dear, I'm sorry you haven't been feeling well lately. You must rest. And the last thing you require at the moment is a guest to make more work for you. I'm very sorry I have to leave you. But you know, as it happens, I would have had to have left because something's come up. You know, business matters at home. Business. The bane of all our lives.
I'll get the car out, Aunt. Drive you to the station.
I'm certainly sorry not to be coming to see you off, Aunt Jane, but I really feel most awfully unwell.
Distance won't stop me, Clara Jane. And you know it. You who also know the history of Jane Bassfield.
Could it possibly be that there's something physically wrong with her brain or something? Tumor or bone pressure or something?
Why do you ask?
She started to suffer from the most terrible headaches. Her eyes have been tested. They're excellent. And this isn't the cause.
So what does Mrs. Barringer say about her headaches?
She says they're due to... Oh, look, it's so ridiculous that it wouldn't help you to know
it.
Yeah,
nevertheless, tell me what she says to the cause, please.
All right. She says it's due to the changing of the shape of her head. She says her skull's gradually growing rounder and flatter. Like a cat.
If only I could see her.
No. She'd become terribly angry if I even mention you to her.
And yet you tell me she saw a doctor, hadn't
you? Well, that was different. She was just an ordinary doctor. With you, it's not the same at all. She wouldn't see you or admit for one moment the chance that her mind isn't quite right.
I shall call this evening as a personal friend. Don't let on that I shall really be in your home in a professional capacity, for pity's sake. I must talk to her.
It was rather a nice man, boy.
I'm glad you like him.
He talked such a lot. I didn't know you had such serious friends.
Well, I...
Don't ever have any else to spy on me again!
Go and see this man. Your wife's case has passed beyond the confines of the mind, and this is a purely physical. You must suffer, if necessary, to see this man.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with Mrs. Barringer that I can lay my finger on with definite knowledge. Yet, there's something decidedly wrong with the set of her shoulders and the curve of her spine.
Your laboratory tests revealed no unusual circumstances.
All right, Mr. Barringer, there was one perplexing discovery. I was, and inclined to believe there's a fault in the microscope, I submitted the slide elsewhere for a second opinion. But I'm sure there must be something wrong with the instrument I used. There could actually be no such blood corpuscles as the glass revealed.
What was the matter?
There were present in the blood specimens I obtained some corpuscles that were... I hardly know how to say it.
Not human.
This sounds stupid, I know.
Like a cat.
Poor boy.
sorry. I keep...
I'm so nervous. But I'm afraid it's no use, dear. You might as well save us both grief and wasted time. No doctor can help me unless he can go back 250 years and save old Joan Bastille from a witch's death.
Clara, I'm going away for a day.
Are you, dear?
I'm going to... Well, there's something important I've got to do. Mrs. Adams says she'll come and stay with you for... while I'm away. I won't be long, a day and a half, no more.
It's very kind of Mrs. Adams.
Oh, boy. Oh, dear boy. Dear boy.
Now, Jane, please, I beg you, do not laugh. I'm nearly out of my mind.
But you're entirely insane. Clara's family history is correct. There was a Joan Bastille who was hanged for witchcraft in Salem in the year 1692. I will go further and admit that I am a direct descendant of that unfortunate woman.
Don't you see?
My name, Bastille.
What are you doing to my wife?
Oh, boy, pull yourself together. What you say is preposterous.
Is it?
Yes, the witchman. You're out of your mind, boy.
But you are a blood relation.
Oh, you poor, poor boy. Boy, what you must do is this.
This is the seventh generation.
Oh, boy, you're wrong, wrong. I thought I would harm... Boy, go back to poor Carol. Go back now. She needs you and give her my fondest love and sympathy. Go back now. You've a 100-mile journey. Go back to her, boy. Now.
I think I'm going mad. Aunt, there's this hair on her arms. Like,
don't worry. Go home to your little wife.
You must have some kind of attention.
Oh, no!
Let me send Mrs. Adams in to you.
No!
Clara, dear, please.
No way!
I'll break it down if you won't unlock it.
Oh, you mother!
Amazing new biotech soap, seven stains away. Get amazing new biotech today and let soaking do the washing.
I feel great.
You are my sunshine, my...
A moment ago, you had a splitting headache.
That was before I took a grandpa headache powder.
Grandpa headache powders kill pain, soothe pain nerves, and lift depression. Grandpa headache powders work quickly because their famous triple action formula dissolves almost immediately. Get the quickest relief of any pain, all pain. Get grandpa headache powder.
Ah, grandpa.
Listen again next week, when we will once more travel into the half-world of reality and illusion, a world that is beyond midnight.